And good afternoon once again, everyone. I'm Chad Holmes. Our number two of the Chad Holmes Show for a Friday here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Well, after a beautiful Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday weather-wise with temperatures 20-plus degrees above normal, back to a more fall feel here for this Friday. Wet start this morning, a lot of overcast skies, chilly conditions. To find out what to expect for the upcoming weekend, we're joined from weatherology by meteorologist Ray Miller. Ray, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. We're watching a pretty large band of shower and thunderstorm activity, the heaviest just off to our south, but it is moving our direction, so rain chances increase through the rest of the afternoon with temperatures in the mid-50s and winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10. Showers tonight, low of 42 degrees with northeasterly winds at 10 to 20. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms with a high around 53. Sunday, partly sunny, 52 for the high temperature. Monday, sunshine, high of 47, and a couple of showers possible Tuesday, with a high around 49 degrees. In the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
And Ray, basically, more than normal. We got spoiled for the entirety of the week until today, but temperatures around 50, low 50s, about normal for this time of year, correct?
Yeah, usual high is around 46 degrees, so even with this cool down into the 50s, we're still a little bit above that. So all in all, not doing too bad.
And I guess finally for folks heading out to watch some high school playoff football tonight, it's a chance for some rain. Have to be ready for it, correct?
Yeah, very good chance of rain. In fact, you'll definitely want to have that rain gear along.
Terrific. Well, Ray, have yourself a great weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday.
I'll see you then. Take care.
That is our meteorologist, Ray Miller, from the weatherology.com Weather Center with us each and every day just after 3 o'clock here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Right now in Wausau, plenty of cloud cover, some rain in the area, temperature of 46 degrees, the wind out of the west at 8 miles per hour, wind chill factor of 42. The dew point is 43, relative humidity of 89%, the barometer at 29.81 inches, a visibility of 10 miles. As we talked about with Ray, it is a big night of high school football. We have a game right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Newman Catholic taking on Siren. 8-player football WIAA state semifinal, 6:40 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff. Again, right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. In fact, we will be talking to the head football coach of Newman Catholic High School, Paul Micklick. We'll hear his pregame comments coming up in the next segment of the program. Also, a few other area teams involved in some high school football playoff activity this evening. You got the Edgar Wildcats, Edgar, in Division 7, and they got themselves a very stiff test, taking on the top-ranked team in the state, Eau Claire Regis. Regis is the number one seed in the bracket. Edgar is the number two seed. The game will be played at Carson Park in Eau Claire coming up tonight at 7 p.m. Also, from Central Wisconsin, not a lot of teams have made it to Level 3. You got the Stratford Tigers in Division 6. They are a number two seed. They're on the road tonight as well. They travel to top-seeded Grantsburg. Again, kickoff at 7 o'clock this evening. And finally, in Division 5, we got a Merrowood Conference squad, the Colby Hornets. Colby coming off a win over the number one seed in the bracket, St. Croix Falls, 28-0 last week. Well, number four Colby again on the road tonight, traveling to La Crosse, taking on La Crosse Aquinas, the number three seed. So, again, not a lot of our area teams right now involved in the postseason playoffs. You got Newman Catholic in 8-player, and then Colby, Stratford, and Edgar competing tonight in 11-man playoff action. Milwaukee Bucks will look to continue their all-time best start to a season. The Bucks are 7-0 on the campaign. Tonight, they make a short road trip. They head west to Minneapolis, take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Minnesota expected to be a much-improved team after getting Rudy Gobert in a trade during the offseason. They've struggled just a little bit. They're 4-4 right now on the season. The 7-0 Bucks take on the 4-4 Minnesota Timberwolves at the Target Center in Minneapolis tonight. Wisconsin Badgers tomorrow back in action. Wisconsin looking for another W after an impressive win against Purdue last time out. take on the Maryland Terrapins. Maryland 6-2 on the season. Maryland 6-2 in overall, 3-2 in the Big Ten. Badgers are 4-4 overall, 2-3 in the conference. Kickoff at 11 a.m. at Camp Randall Stadium tomorrow. Game can be heard on the Big Ten Network. Despite Maryland having a better record both overall and in the Big Ten, Badgers a bit of a favorite at home. 4.5-point favorites are the Badgers. Wisconsin leads the series 3-0. But this is a much improved Maryland team. And they are looking to head to a bowl game and also looking to move up in the Big Ten East Division. And the Green Bay Packers. Are we ready for some Packer football on Sunday? It's been a struggle for the Pack the last four games. I mean, they got off to a decent start. They had that lousy season opener against Minnesota, but then were able to win three games in a row. Looked like things were A-OK for the Packers. But since then, boy, it has been rough sledding for Green Bay. Four consecutive losses, and right now 3-5 on the season. After this week's action, the Packers will be more than halfway through the season. Yep, they will be needing a win badly against the Detroit Lions. The Packers taking on Detroit, and they will be in action in Ford Field coming up on Sunday starting at 12 noon. Coming up, we're going to hear some sports talk. We're going to talk to a Newman Catholic head football coach, Paul Mickling, about tonight's big one, state semifinal in eight-player football from Triple Falls against Siren. Again, that's a game that can be heard right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. So coming up next, head coach Paul Mickling, as we continue here on the Chad Holmes Show on a Friday. Hopefully it's the start of a great weekend. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Home show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Friday means high school football. Yep, high school football continues for a few of the teams, not as many now because we are to the level three playoffs. And here in central Wisconsin, not a whole lot of teams left on the gridiron, but one is Newman Catholic, the Newman Catholic Cardinals. What a run it has been for Newman the last few years. In fact, Newman Catholic has won 27 consecutive games. The last time that Newman Catholic lost was in the 2019 state championship game. Back in 2019, they fell to Luck 42-37. Since then, nothing but W's for the Cardinals. In 2020, they only played five games. That was the COVID year. COVID forced high school football to start late. And then it's caused Newman Catholic to have their season end early. But Newman won all their games in 2020. No playoffs, unfortunately. No state championship or anything like that. Then last year, the Cardinals, they won every game. 8 in the regular season. And then 4 in the postseason. 12-0. Winning the state championship against Luck, who had knocked them off 2 years previous. And then this year, so far, it's been nothing but W's. Newman won all 8 of their regular season games, have won their first 2 playoff games, and they have been dominant in every one of their games so far this season. So 10-0 on the campaign, ranked number 1 in the state, 27 wins in a row overall, but a tough test tonight. Over in Chippewa Falls, the Cardinals will take on Siren. And that game can be heard right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, starting with the pregame show at 6:40. Had a chance to talk to the head coach, Paul Mickling, about the game tonight against Siren, and started off by talking about last week's very impressive win over Gilman.
Last week, another game at Merrill, another game victorious for your Newman Catholic Cardinals. Run game in the game against Gilman, 48-14 win. Both Connor Crock and Thomas Bates, triple digits in their run game. Looked like on the highlights that Connor was handing the football to the referee quite a bit after scoring touchdowns. Really able to get the run game going against Gilman last week, weren't you?
Yeah, you know, and I thought we set it up well coming off of the week before and what we were trying to do and putting our best blockers in the situations and the best spots. And I thought the kids did real well blocking downfield at the point of attack and everywhere in between. And Thomas and Connor obviously ran the ball real well. Thomas, I mean, he was breaking tackles. And Connor, he had good vision. He was seeing what was going on. And we got the pass game we needed. You know, we got that second touchdown. We kind of kept them back after that when we got that second touchdown over the top, and then they had to stay back. I knew they were going to come in being aggressive, and they were, and then we backed them off again and back into that zone. So I thought the kids did a great job of adjusting and making those adjustments during the game, but more importantly, I thought they had a good week of practice.
Execution, and it does start with practice. You have to be able to execute in terms of implementing the game plan and then execute on Friday night as well. And I think, you know, it may sound like a broken record, but the fact that your team has been able to execute throughout the week and then on game night as well has been, I think, one of the most impressive aspects for this group, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to play at the level that they're playing at, you know, it's fun to watch, fun to be a part of, fun to work with them and have the opportunity to coach them. And I've been lucky here for a while now, obviously, for 21 years and specifically obviously since we went to 8-man the last 6 years doing things correctly all the time and really being spoiled so this is the time that I've enjoyed getting to work with these guys every day and getting them better and getting their prep work you know, what we're hoping is that they got one more night in them of good solid football.
Your team is 10-0 and you face another team that's 10-0, and boy, it's not easy to get to this point, and Siren has done it. They've worked their way through 10 weeks without a loss. As you prepared for Siren this week, what in particular has jumped out about this crew?
They're, you know, they got the whole package, obviously, and it's something that we haven't seen. Now I feel like we have seen their. I had the opportunity to coach with Coach Carstensen from Siren in the All-Star game, and against him actually twice. So I got to see some ins and outs and things like that, but not to see a team in 6 years is probably one of the few teams we haven't seen, to be honest with you, Chad, in the 6 years that we've been here. They're talented. They got the best line that we've seen. They got probably the best quarterback we've seen. They got a real good running back, good receivers. They're balanced. Defensively, they attack, and they're going to come at us all day. And if we're not ready to play, they're going to beat us at the line of scrimmage. So it's going to all start with that line of scrimmage, but very talented team, well coached, and there's a reason why they're 10-0.
Teams make plays, and quarterbacks make plays, and teams that have faced your team over the last few years have seen quarterbacks who can make plays, and it looks like Nick Webster is a kid that can make plays. I was talking to Carl Thorpe a little bit and said he's a, you know, terrific thrower of the football. He's been averaging about 150 yards through the air, has about 120 yards on the ground each week. He's a kid that looks like he's the engine. He's got the folks in front of him, but he's really the conductor and the engine for this offense, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the old adage of what comes first, the egg or the chicken, and this would be the same situation because I think they have a real good line. So, great quarterback, like you said, you can throw the ball or run the ball, but we have to get him off a spot, and if we don't get him off the spot, he's a big bruiser. He's going to pound us in between the tackles. Guards, if we let him, and we got to make sure that we win at the point of attack and we get him to go side to side if he's running, and when he's passing, we got to make sure that we don't let him sit back there and be on his spot. But he's a great quarterback, but again, they have a real good line too.
It does sound like, in terms of what you've been saying, that much like when your team is doing something well offensively, you're going to keep doing it. You're going to make the opponent stop you. It feels like you know what they're going to try to do maybe at the start. It's your job to stop them and make them go to plan B, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, obviously we have we hope, and I guarantee you they'll come out with something different. But in the end, there's only two things you can do, Chad, when you play football. You either run the ball or you pass the ball. So I know that they'll do one of those two things, and hopefully we have everything defensed how we want to. But they're going to come out, and once they get a feel for something, and if they feel that they can win the line of scrimmage, they will not pass. And if on the flip side, if they start passing and we can't cover, they will keep passing. So they're going to, like you said, they're going to find what they're going to have success with, and they're going to stick to it, and it's going to be our job to make sure we stop it.
What do they do well defensively? Obviously, their job is going to be to turn the tables on you guys in terms of trying to make you not be able to do what you want to do. If you're running well, you're going to keep running. If you're throwing it well, I'm sure you'll keep throwing it. But when you looked at their defense, what do they do well? What, as an offensive play caller, have you noticed?
I mean, they play a zone. They're going to give us many different looks. And, you know, Coach, he likes to go off of those formations. And you know, he was texting me the other night saying, how many formations do you have? You know, because they like, that's how he judges his defense off of, is formations. And we'll give him some more new ones, hopefully, maybe, possibly. And we'll see what we can do. But we have to... at the end of the day, it's execute what we have. If we execute what we do, we'll be okay. And if we don't execute it, it doesn't matter who you play. You're going to be for a long night, and they got a real good linebacker that was all region, and they got a defensive lineman that was all region, and they got the quarterback plays safety, and he was all region. So they got three guys at three levels of defense that are all region. So obviously they have a solid, sound defense, and they're going to make us work for everything we get.
How honest were you when he asked you how many different formations do you use? Was it plus 5, plus 10, plus minus 15? I imagine it was not an exact answer to a question like that, was it?
And I just asked him how big 53 is, because they don't put their heights and weights on it. So I said, I'll tell you how many formations when you tell me your size of your guys. So it was a good banter back and forth. It was during the Packer game, so we weren't watching much of that anyways. But they'll come, and like I said, they're well coached, well oiled machine, and we're gonna have our hands full. I would assume as more, if not more, I guess, than Gilman last year, and so we're excited to get that opportunity.
And I guess finally, not to jinx it, but you've been so good with the turnover battle. It's different when you face a good football team, because they put different pressures on than maybe some of the other teams. As you get deeper in the playoffs, they obviously get better and better. But when two good football teams get together, you do have to take care of the football and then try to take it away once or twice, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many years we've been doing this, Chad, but, you know, anytime you ever ask me what are the keys of the game, what do I start with, it's a turnover battle. If you win the turnover battle, now you gave yourself a shot, you know, at least to be in the game. It doesn't matter if you have talent or don't have talent or whatever the case might be. If you win the turnover battle, you will give yourself a chance. If you don't win the turnover battle, it's going to be an uphill battle. So, hey, we might... ball slippery, things jitters. You might have one or two, but then we're going to have to get three or four. And that's how it's going to have to go. And they might have a few too. So if it's a clean game, it's even better. 0-0, then it goes on, you know, who's the better team. But it starts with turnovers. That's the biggest key, and it always will be.
Best of luck.
Thanks, Chad.
That is head coach of the New MacArthur Cardinals, Paul Micklegg, as the Cardinals get set tonight to take on Siren. A WIAA 8-player state semifinal game will be played in Chippewa Falls this evening. And I will have the play-by-play of that one, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 12:30, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. In fact, coming up in just a moment, when we go to commercial break, I am heading out of here. I'm going to be heading over to New MacArthur, catch the bus, going on the bus with the team over to Chippewa Falls. But we still got more of our program to come. Coming up next, we will go back and hear our interview that I had yesterday with the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, Josh Call. Josh Call is very nice enough to give a call, talk to me about the issues and the campaign as he is looking for his second term in office. So Josh Call, the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, coming up next here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Again, have to take off, catch the bus to go see the Newman Cardinals play tonight here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. But right now, we're going to go back and hear my conversation with the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, Josh Call. We are now just 4 days away from the election coming up on Tuesday. And very happy to welcome to the program to talk about his race and talk about the issues, the current Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, Josh Call. Mr. Attorney General, thank you for spending a few minutes with us.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Absolutely. Something I've noticed in terms of your campaign, the term freedom, over recent years and maybe even more than recent years, the Republicans have taken ownership of the term freedom. But you and your campaign have been using the term freedom a lot and trying to use that as one of the, I would say, issues of this campaign. Could you talk a little bit about what you're talking about when you talk about freedom during the course of your campaign here for Attorney General?
Absolutely. You know, freedom is on the ballot in this election, and it's not freedom as used as a political talking point. It's about the real thing here. We have had attacks on our freedoms from Republicans, and I am proud to be standing up against them and take reproductive freedom. Wisconsinites lost a right that had been protected by the Constitution for almost 50 years. Women in Wisconsin are now less free, less safe, and less equal than they had been before Roe v. Wade was overturned, and we are fighting to restore that freedom in the courts. We're also talking about protecting the freedom to vote. There have been efforts to reduce access to voting and ultimately to try to overturn the 2020 election. Keeping the freedom to vote in the hands of Wisconsinites so that it is our Wisconsin citizens who are determining who runs our government and not politicians or judges or anybody else. That is fundamentally about protecting our freedom. And unfortunately, we have seen efforts to erode that freedom from far-right politicians.
Where do we stand right now in terms of what you're trying to accomplish in the courts when it comes to the issue of abortion, the 1849 abortion ban that's currently in effect in the state of Wisconsin? There are not that kind of health care being provided right now in the state of Wisconsin. Where do we stand in terms of your work on that issue?
We filed suit 4 days after the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. And what we're arguing is that there were laws passed after Roe v. Wade that are fundamentally inconsistent with the 1849 ban, and that it can't be both legal and illegal in certain cases for people to have abortions, and that the more recent laws, when there's a conflict, the more recent laws are the ones that govern. Now, in the meantime, access to safe and legal abortions has stopped in Wisconsin because people who provide that service understandably are worried that they could be prosecuted under that old ban, and we have begun to hear some of the consequences of that. In Wisconsin, a woman had a partial miscarriage, but the doctor wasn't sure if they could intervene because they were worried about potential prosecution, and so she was left to bleed for 10 days. There are also cases where I've heard about where people come in with planned pregnancies and they're terrified about what's going to happen if there's a complication that they weren't expecting. So our suit was initially filed against members of the legislature who wanted to be involved in a lot of litigation that we've had over the last several years. This time they didn't want to be involved, and so We ultimately brought some DAs into the case as defendants. Their response is due this month, and so we'll get that response, and then there will be briefing. But it's going to be a matter of a number of months, maybe even over a year, before we get final resolution in this case. And so in the meantime, our legislature any day could come into session and repeal the 1849 ban. Unfortunately, they've refused to do that so far.
Again, we're talking to Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Those two issues you touched on right here at the top, both abortion and also voting. They are two areas that are very stark differences in terms of you and your opponent, the Fond du Lac prosecutor, Eric Toney. He has said that he would actually prosecute under the 1849 ban, correct?
Yeah, there's a very stark contrast on this issue. I'm leading the lawsuit that's seeking to block enforcement of that ban. And I've been clear, you know, we investigate and prosecute the most serious crimes in the state of Wisconsin. I'm not going to shift resources from going after murderers, sex offenders, and drug traffickers to going after people for abortion. That would be a serious misuse of resources. But my opponent, Eric Toney, has repeatedly pledged to enforce that ban. He said that he would lead efforts to ensure that it's enforced. He won't rule out enforcement, even in cases involving rape or incest. And he even went so far as to suggest that DAs be given the authority to prosecute people in neighboring counties for violations of that abortion ban. He is way to the far extreme on this issue. And in addition to being bad for the health and safety and equality of women in Wisconsin, his view would shift resources that should be going to fighting crime into going after people for abortions. It's wrong, and it's a very stark difference.
And that's one of the differences, it feels like, the last 4 years under your administration as opposed to the previous administration under Brad Schimmel. Is it seemed like back during that era, Wisconsin was a party to a lot of different lawsuits on these kind of Hail Mary court cases. There is a difference, isn't there, in terms of priorities when it comes to who is in the Attorney General's office, to put it plainly?
Absolutely. You know, my top priority as Attorney General has been public safety. And as I said, we investigate and prosecute some of the most serious crimes out there. I'm a former federal prosecutor. I worked in one of the most violent cities in the country where I personally prosecuted murderers, gang members, and drug traffickers. And making our communities as safe as they can be is a top priority. We also enforce our environmental laws to protect access to safe and clean drinking water. We hold scammers accountable when they engage in consumer fraud. And you know what you saw under my predecessor was things like a lawsuit that was trying to end the Affordable Care Act and its protections for people with a pre-existing condition. We got out of that suit when I took office. And with my Republican opponent this time, you know, we've heard about abortion prosecutions. We've heard about his desire to go after what I think are bogus claims of voter fraud. He's claimed that our election commissioners broke the law and should be removed from office. And he supported, the Gableman investigation. We've got to have our Department of Justice focused on delivering results for Wisconsinites and keeping our communities safe.
Talking about crime, and that has been such a major issue in all the statewide races during this election cycle. And the idea, and your opponent's trying to run as, you know, tough on crime, top cop along those lines. And you mentioned the fact that you spent time working in Baltimore. What did you find out in terms of how you do your job today in Wisconsin, in your job in Baltimore, in such a difficult job? You had to deal with a lot of crime and a lot of crime victims and crime perpetrators and all that. What did you find out in your experiences in the past that, for everything that your opponent says, that allows you to be the person that is able to handle the issue of crime? And I don't want to use the term tough on crime because I think it's more of an issue of crime. What did you find out during your life experience up to this point?
You know, there's a lot that goes into making our communities safe as they can be. And as a federal prosecutor, one of the cases I worked on really shapes the way I think about some of these things. I worked on a case where in 2011, there were five back-and-forth murders between two rival gangs. And we worked to investigate that case extremely thoroughly. We identified people responsible for some of the violence. We also identified people involved in other high-level criminal activity, and we charged a number of people who were involved in the illegal activity. And after those people were charged, there was a significant drop in violence in that neighborhood. And that, to me, reinforces something that I think we all really know, but it's important to be clear about when you're setting priorities. When you go after the most serious offenders, people who are committing violence or large-scale drug traffickers, people who are selling the most dangerous drugs like fentanyl and heroin and meth, when we put those people behind bars, that's when we have the biggest impact on public safety. So as Attorney General, my focus has been investigating and prosecuting the most serious crimes out there. That is how we can do the most to make our community safer. We also need to make sure that that those who are part of the criminal justice system have the resources they need. So I proposed over a year ago now a Safer Wisconsin plan that would put $115 million into public safety, including funding community policing, because developing those relationships between law enforcement and people in the community can get critical information that can help solve cases. Also, officer recruitment, retention, and wellness, victim services, mental health crisis response, and other programs that can make our community safer.
Again, we're talking to Josh Call, the Wisconsin Attorney General, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I was looking at an article talking about this race, and a line that kind of jumped out that it said, you've used the Attorney General's office as a bully pulpit. How do you look at that in terms of trying to raise awareness on a number of these issues, trying to use your office in ways that are, you know, beyond just working within the system, but trying to actually be a positive influence with this position as a bully pulpit?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I view as an important part of the role of Attorney General is making sure that we are advocating for changes that can make our community safer or that reinforce the work that we're doing day in and day out at the Department of Justice. So, for example, we investigate and prosecute, like I said, serious crimes, including sexual assault cases. One of the things that we've seen in the system that was a problem is that kids would sit around untested without being submitted. So we worked to change the law so that every kid in the state of Wisconsin now has to be submitted to the crime lab. I worked with Democrats and Republicans, and we got the law changed. We also launched a kit tracking system that allows survivors to go online and see where their kit is in the process. Another example of that is fighting the opioid epidemic. We investigate and prosecute drug traffickers. We've also gone to court to sue Purdue Pharma, which manufactured OxyContin. And we have worked to hold companies responsible for the opioid epidemic accountable and helped to secure over $400 million to fight that epidemic. But in addition to bringing in those resources and getting that accountability, making sure that people are aware of the dangers of opioids and that fentanyl is increasingly mixed with various types of drugs and is causing overdose deaths, that's also going to help us fight the opioid epidemic. And I view that also as a key part of the job, and that's the approach we've taken. And I think it has helped make positive change on a number of issues.
And I guess finally, as you look forward, let's assume for a moment, and again, with the tight elections we always see in Wisconsin, it's a big assumption, but looking forward, you've talked a lot about different kind of issues. What in the next 4 years do you want to focus on, maybe a top priority as you look to the future? Because so often we talk about the current issues and they're all vitally important, but looking forward, what do you look ahead in your next 4 years if you get a second term?
I want to build on the progress that we've been making on a number of issues. You know, one area I think we really have an opportunity for right now is investing in public safety in our communities. We've had some progress in the last 4 years. There were about 70 additional prosecutor positions created around the state. We also got additional funding for law enforcement training and some increase in funding for treatment and diversion programs. But we have a record-breaking state surplus right now, and I would like to see some of that go towards ensuring that we've got the resources we need in local law enforcement, prosecutors' offices, in public defenders' offices, so we don't have cases delayed while people await getting a public defender, having sufficient judges. If we do that, we can make our communities safer. That's why I've been advocating for that. And that's a big difference in the AG's race. I've offered concrete solutions for investing in public safety. My opponent just hasn't done that. So we've got to make those investments.
Attorney General Josh Call, I know it's such a busy time. You've been traveling around to all points in Wisconsin here in the final days of the campaign. Appreciate you spending a few minutes with us, and best of luck in the final days of the campaign.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Again, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call. We need to take a break. We'll come back. One more segment to come. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXVO. Love this song. And as we get towards Election Day, I think it's okay to be a dreamer. Supertramp. When you look at the candidates, and I hope you spend a little time thinking again about the candidates, especially the local candidates. Think about this race for the 85th Assembly District. Kristen Conway on the Democratic side, Pat Snyder on the Republican side, and especially the race for the 29th State Senate District. It's an open seat as Jerry Petruski is retiring, the longtime Republican who first was in the Assembly, then in the State Senate, calling it a career. And whether a Republican or a Democrat, I think there's one thing we can say about Jerry Petruski is that the guy took his job very seriously. He, I think, respected people on both sides of the aisle. And when you look at the race to replace him coming up on Tuesday in the 29th, I think you got one candidate who does respect, whether it's a supporter of his or somebody that's not going to vote for him. And that is the Democratic candidate, Bob Look. He has talked about it, being common sense, listening. He said it on this program a couple of different times. Listening is where you'll learn rather than when you're talking. And then you got the Republican, and I've talked about this, and I'm going to keep talking about it for a few more days, and a man that does not want to listen to anybody on the other side. In fact, he said it a couple of weeks ago that he is first and foremost going to serve the people that vote for him and believe the same things that he believes in. He knows the answers. He is never going to apologize for being a conservative. Nobody's asking him to apologize for being a conservative. But as a representative, as a state senator, representing the people of his state senate 29th district, I think Corey Tomchick owes it to maybe take a step back, should he win, to say, hey, I'm going to listen to the folks that didn't vote for me. I'm going to stop thinking that I am the center of the political universe, that everybody thinks the same way as I do, that the far right of the Republican Party is the center of the people in the 29th Senate district. That's not the case. And also start to treat people who disagree with him with respect. People like the governor of the state of Wisconsin and like the mayor of Wausau. And to stop saying that people that disagree with him are traitors. Again, I want to play this because this was incredibly disappointing and incredibly depressing to hear from a man that could very well be the state senator from the 29th district said this in Wausau less than 2 weeks ago.
Democrats' behavior in this issue is nothing short of treason. Democrats do not want law and order and safety. Democrats want chaos. Democrats want confusion. Democrats want instability. They want this so they can try to conceive the sheeple that they have the only solution and they can fix the problem. It's bullshit.
Classy as always, that Corey Tomchick. Again, the idea that
he can even use that kind of language in a public forum. He's so angry. Angry about everything. And, again, just loves trashing people that think differently than him.
If we don't address these two issues immediately, then worrying about taxes and where our workforce is going to come from is frivolous. Having said that, public security, or public safety, economic security, education, and the radical politics that come out of the governor's office and come out of the mayor's office, all these things are upsetting to the average person in our area. All of these issues are being inflated, skewered, and just plain manipulated by the Democratic or the Democrat Party. From the president's ridiculous shutdown of the oil pipeline in his first day in office, and from Governor Evers' ridiculous and illegal shutdown of our state, Democrat leadership has purposely attacked our economic freedom and has done nothing to protect and support the average American. The liberal left demonizes the police, and yet again another example of their attack on it is yet again another example of their attack on safety and prosperity. It seems like every 6 months we hear about a pair of police officers being ambushed or really being executed in cold blood in their police car. They're just trying to do their jobs. Yet the Democrats want to tell people that they're the enemy.
I play this because in these kind of races, often you don't hear the voice of a person running for office at the local level. Corey Tomchuk is saying who he is. Is this the kind of attitude you want from a person representing you? Even beyond the issues. I mean, he thinks even being asked about being bipartisan is some sort of trick question.
It's a good laugh, David, and it's a loaded question. I am for smaller government. Secondly, productivity is a business term, and the government produces nothing. So, if by productivity you mean worthless virtue signaling legislation like a community for all, a truly divisive piece of legislation, then no, I don't want to overcome partisanship. There is no reason to. We are fighting for the soul of Wisconsin and the U.S. I will not work with anyone who thinks there are different genders other than male or female. If you think that those ideas are acceptable, then I and the vast majority of the Twain Edge Senate District think you should take a long walk off a short bridge. Productivity will return to the state capitol when Democrats quit fighting about election integrity issues. Do you think it's productive to veto a bill that simply removes people who have died from the voter rolls? Productivity will return to the state capitol when Democrats quit pissing away tax dollars. Let's lower taxes before we spend excess tax dollars. Productivity will return to the state capitol when Democrats quit coming up with ways to limit our freedom. And productivity will return to the state capitol when Democrats are turned out by voters in a couple of weeks.
Again, I mean, just vitriol, anger, disgust at anybody that thinks differently than he does. I mean, it's pathetic. It really is. And then the personal attacks, like the one on the mayor of Wausau that he put out there.
Here in Wausau, people wonder why we have such high and rising taxes. Well, maybe if Mayor Katie would spend time paying attention to her responsibilities and not attending socialist, progressive conferences in other countries, maybe she could work on those issues. But she can't be bothered with that.
Again, I'd like to remind everybody to please not engage in any kind of disruption.
David, why don't we have him leave?
He just left.
Good. People are fed up. And people are pissed.
Again, Mr. Great Language there, and he is a moron. But it's a plus 21 district for Republicans. It's going to be an uphill struggle for Bob Look. But again, even if you're someone that leans Republican, listen to this man. Is that the kind of talk you want representing you in Madison? So think about it. Election day is just 4 days away, coming up on Tuesday. And again, we are going to cover it wall to wall right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Have yourselves a great weekend. And make sure you join me tonight starting at 6:40. Newman Catholic playoff football against Siren State semifinal right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.